The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and you're listening to the Old Dogs REI Network with your host and top dog, Bill Manicero. You must be prepared to ignite.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at minostudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, minostudio777@gmail.com.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today we have a fantastic guest, Amanda Hahn of Keystone CPA. Amanda is the author of the book on tax. It's a long title, so I'll try and get it all in here. The book on tax strategies for the savvy real estate investor. Powerful techniques anyone can use to deduct more, invest smarter, and pay less to the IRS. I don't think there's anybody listening who would want to pay more to the IRS there. She is a tax strategist with over 18 years experience as a CPA with emphasis on real estate investing, who specializes in creating cutting-edge tax-saving strategies for real estate investors. This is the reason we have her on the show. As a real estate investor herself, Amanda has an in-depth understanding of the various aspects of investing, including taxation, self-directed investing, entity structuring, and money raising. Amanda's expertise has been featured in prominent publications and media, including Time Magazine Online, BiggerPockets.com, Realtor Magazine, and AllBusiness.com. She is certified by the California State Board of Accountancy and is a member of the prestigious American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, practicing in all 50 U.S. states. Well, welcome, Amanda, to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me. I'm very, very excited to be here today.
Well, I am too, especially since I am one of those folks who has filed an extension and am still very much wrapped up in my taxes right now, where all those more diligent people are not worried about it until March, right, or April. So I am, really excited to have you on. And we really haven't addressed this. We've touched on it in previous episodes, but this is an area that is critical for real estate investors, and the fact that many of us get involved in real estate investing is because of the tax advantages, and I think most of us that are involved don't even realize the half of it. And so I am going to stop talking here and allow you to just first tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you happen to end up specializing in real estate investing.
Yeah, it's kind of an uninteresting story, actually. A lot of real estate investors, you hear the story is about, rags to riches, right? How they kind of built their empire. Mine, to be honest, is not as exciting. I was kind of born into it a little bit. I am actually the third generation of real estate investors in my family. So my grandparents were real estate investors. My parents were real estate investors. So kind of always grew up around real estate, if you will. I remember when I was really young, my grandparents owned a lot of condos in Las Vegas, and my cousins and I, in the summertime, we would be responsible for painting, cleanup, for tenant turnovers. So that's kind of how we got involved in real estate. But I think, interestingly enough, I was not brought up to be a real estate investor. My parents really encouraged me to go the traditional route. Going to college, become an accountant, right? Get a steady job. And that's what I did. I just happened to be working at one of the big four firms out of college, and happened to end up in the real estate specialty group by accident.
Really?
And yeah. So totally unrelated. My family, here's one side where my family's been in real estate all my life. I just wanted to become an accountant. I go into this big international firm and I end up in the real estate group. And most of what we did at the big four was to help large corporations, development companies, real estate, very large real estate companies with tax strategies. And what is shocking even to myself is that after all these years of working with investors and seeing the benefits of what taxes can do on their tax returns, it never really dawned on me to get into real estate at all. Never on my radar. Just kind of wanted to work my way up, become a manager, maybe a senior manager, and just, continue with my life. Until one day my husband and I read this little book, which you, I'm sure, have heard of, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yes, and you were on the different corner of the quadrant, huh?
Exactly. I was in a very different place. And actually it was my husband who read it first, and he tried to come, I specifically remember we're just lying in bed. He was reading. He turned to me and he said, what? We need to buy some real estate, and that will be our goal between now and the end of the year. And I looked at him like he was crazy. I had no idea what he was talking about.
That's right. You're an accountant. That seemed a little radical, probably.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of just things that other people did or rich people did, not something for me. And so it really took many, many years for me to really kind of, I actually started to take my job differently. So instead of just doing taxes for other people, I really try to understand and realize how powerful real estate could be, because at the time, a lot of our clients in the large firms were, they were executives in large companies, and to see how real estate helps them to reduce their taxable income and help with their retirement was really something, a new way of looking at how real estate works for me. And that's kind of how we got started. I mean, I have to say the first property that we bought, the first rental property we bought, I remember specifically sitting in the office, signing that paperwork for the purchase contract, and my heart was beating out of my chest. Like, I thought I would have to jump out of a building. It was such a big move for me to do that. But, here we are years later, and I'm so happy that we took the plunge and made that change.
That's a neat story. I'm sure that as you got involved as an investor too, it probably gave you insight that you might not have had sort of on the consulting side or the advisor side, because now you're looking at how am I going to get the advantages tax-wise for my own properties.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because, you know, when I first started investing, I actually looked to clients to see, you know, that's one of the benefits of being a CPA that works with real estate investors is we kind of get to see the whole picture, right? So you meet people who say, oh, I have a great deal. This is great. But for me, I get to actually see the numbers. And so we started by saying, okay, well, here's a client that did really well. Here's what they're doing. Here's where they're doing it. And maybe we just kind of try to replicate what it is that they're doing. But one of the most interesting things that that I learned was, you know, when I was working in the Big Four, the larger companies, the people we were dealing with, they understood numbers. You know, they were CFOs, CEOs, and they had a very in-depth background on all that. When we started investing and started meeting, you know, normal everyday investors at real estate clubs and stuff, I mean, we realized that a lot of people don't really understand taxes and they don't understand what they can deduct. They don't really understand a lot of the finances behind it. And that was kind of what prompted my husband and I to make a change from working in the Big Four to starting our own firm and working with, you know, normal everyday investors to help them really try to capture the benefits of real estate investing.
So what are some of the top things just off the top of your head that real estate investors just either overlook or just don't have a clue on when it comes to taxes and real estate investing?
That's a good question. And, you know, actually, there's so many things. And, you know, of course, as you know, investors, some are more sophisticated than others. But I think, you know, generally, if I were to kind of take a step back and say, you know, maybe one of the most common reasons that people might overpay in their taxes is really just not understanding what are legitimate tax deductions. Mm. I think for investors, you know, if you're someone who owns rental real estate, most people know that they can deduct, you know, mortgage interest, property taxes, right, management fees, maybe insurance. But I think a lot of people maybe overlook the fact that they could also deduct a lot of these, you know, somewhat personal expenses too, like mileage, you know, travel cost if you were to go to a real estate, local real estate meeting or even an out-of-state real estate meeting, or, you know, certain meals if you're having a meal with other investors or potential private money lenders that you might be working with or even realtors. So these are the types of things that I see missed most often.
Oh, that's interesting. Would you say there's an area where you would say sort of the biggest mistake that a client has made that really stands out to you as something that he gets, you know, if you would have just done this?
Yeah. I think that maybe the biggest one would be not knowing that they're eligible to write things off. I hear this time and time again where people come to me, you know, we talk about, oh, you can, you know, did you know that you can write off, you know, when you're driving to come meet me, for example, or you're driving to the bank to deposit your rent checks. And people, a lot of people are under the false understanding that they can only deduct these things if they had legal entities. So, you know, I knew I could deduct that, but I forgot to open up an LLC, so therefore I can't do it. I think that is probably one of the biggest mistakes that I see from time to time, because the reality is the IRS does not require you to have an LLC or a corporation or a partnership to deduct these business expenses. And so when we say business, it's important to clarify, we just mean an investing business, right? So for you, you are in the business of rental real estate, or maybe you're in the business of doing fix and flip real estate. Business just means that you are doing an activity where you're trying to make money, okay, in the real estate arena. The business does not mean you have to have a legal entity. So, you know, I know a lot of them, maybe even for newer investors who are just starting out in real estate, or we have people who've been in real estate for many, many years that just own properties outside of legal entities, you know, all these normal deductions are available to them, right, with or without a legal entity.
I know right now because, as I mentioned, we're going through our taxes, and there's also a statement that a person person can make as an investor too, that they are officially a full-time real estate investor, right? Does that make a difference in terms of deductions?
Yes, definitely. And I think that's probably another one of those big common mistakes, unfortunately, that I see. So what you're referring to is the real estate professional status. Now, you know, most investors know that one of the biggest benefits of investing in real estate is that not only do you get to write off these, you know, quote unquote business expenses that we were just talking about, right? But you also get to deduct depreciation, which is basically you get to write off the purchase price of the property over several years. And you get to do that regardless of whether the real estate is, you know, whether the value is appreciating or depreciating. Okay, it's strictly just a tax deduction. So what happens then is more often than not, an investor could be generating good cash flow on a specific property. But on the tax return, we're able to show that the property is actually losing money for tax purposes. Right. And then the question just becomes, okay, well, if my property is losing money and I'm someone who maybe still is working, or if I'm someone who has a business or I have some other non-real estate income, can I use my rental loss to offset the taxes on this other income that I have? And for those people who have income over 100 or 150,000, sometimes, unfortunately, the answer is no. You cannot use it to offset this other income anymore. And, you know, there's no really rhyme or reason that I can think of. It's just, you know, some lobbyists talk to Congress, and this is, you know, a hurdle that they put in for people who make higher income, maybe no longer being able to maximize real estate-related tax benefits. And so one of the ways around this pitfall is if you as a taxpayer or your spouse, okay, can show that they're a real estate professional, then you can be making $1 million or $5 million a year. Okay, you can always use your rental losses to offset all types of income that you generate.
Oh,
so
that's great.
Yeah, it's wonderful, right? So the natural question that we get all the time is, okay, well, what's a real estate professional, Amanda? I like real estate. I don't really want to, you know, sell houses, right? I don't want to become a realtor.
right.
And the good thing is that, you know, we don't have to be a realtor to be a real estate professional. Okay, real estate professional is really only a definition in the eyes of the IRS, and it means that you don't have to be licensed as a realtor or a broker. Okay, you don't have to be out there showing houses. You don't have to act like a realtor in any way or form. What you do need to show, though, is that you are spending more time in real estate than you are at your other jobs or businesses, and that you're spending at least 750 hours. So as long as you meet those two criteria, you can be a real estate professional and be able to use the real estate losses to offset all of your other income.
Oh, neat. I have to get some free advice here. This is great. I know that you advise clients, and sometimes people comply, sometimes they don't, and so forth. But when we're faced with the, I call the A word, the audit, you know, those are sort of that's the time when it really comes down, so the tire meets the road here. And do you have maybe a success story that you could share about a client who, you know, really did it right, and that was able, because of the advice you'd given them and the way that they had structured things, that, you know, they came out of an audit, or they came out of a tax situation with, you know, just, you know, all roses here.
Yeah. I mean, I'll touch on your question about audits real quick. I mean, you know, for any CPA, you know, our goal first and foremost is to make sure that we maximize our tax savings, right? I mean, for me at least. So I never put fear of an audit as the way as the first step in looking at how a tax return is done, because there's so many different ways or reasons that someone could be audited, right? And so if we're always afraid of an audit, then, you know, then we might as well just overpay the IRS. And even if you did overpay the IRS, it is possible that you would still be audited, okay? But having said that, I think, yeah, any position we take, for me at least, my comfort level is that if this were to be audited, I would like to have a you know, more than 50% chance, okay, that I think I have an argument to win. Okay. But of course, it always comes down to documentation. So it is important to, you know, I know everybody hates receipts. Right.
Yes. Oh, God. I'm the worst. Yeah.
But really, receipts are just kind of your insurance. If you were to get audited, that's what they would rely on. And so it doesn't mean you have to, you know, organize it and make it all pretty. I mean, what I do is I take a picture of the receipt and then I rip the receipt up because I hate receipts as well. I take a picture of it, I file it away, and I don't ever look at it. I only look at it if and when I were to be audited for that particular year. Okay. In terms of success stories, there's so many. And, you know, in our new book, The Tax Strategies on the Savvy Real Estate Investor, there are tons of actual client stories that we've had. So, you know, I think that's a good read for anyone who's interested in learning more about, you know, what taxes can do. But, you know, we were just talking about real estate professional, right, on how that helps. I'll kind of give you a quick story for one of our clients, and this is one that we see time and time again. So we have a client, when we first started working with them, you know, the husband was someone who was working full-time in the legal field as an attorney, and him and his wife also invested in real estate as well on the side. And for many, many years, they have, you know, depreciation, a bunch of expenses on the real estate, but none of that was actually being used to offset the taxable income of the husband from his law practice. And so when we started working with them, we started to talk about what kind of planning we could do to make sure that his wife qualifies as real estate professional. For them, his wife didn't really have another job, so all she did was to help out in the real estate side of things. And so by working together over a year's period, we were able to help the wife to document that she was spending at least 750 hours in all of their various real estate investment deals. And as a result, for the first time, they were able to use the real estate deductions and expenses to offset his high taxable income from his law practice.
That is neat.
So that's an example. Wow. Yeah. That's an example of, you know, I know earlier you said, Bill, that some people are done with their returns and they don't have to worry about it until March of next year. What yeah. I would say is that you don't want to wait until March to think about taxes. You know, right now, we should all be thinking proactively about taxes for 2016, right? So if you're someone who's maybe retiring soon, getting close to retire, or maybe you're, you know, on the path to changing a job, or currently looking to buy more real estate or sell a piece of property you've already owned, now is the time to start planning. Because if April or March of next year is the first time you're talking to your CPA about 2016, it might be too little too late.
Right. I think that's a really key point. And having that relationship with your clients is really key. And I will tell everybody listening, I mean, Amanda is my CPA, and she is really good at getting out of you the information that you need to be able to provide the IRS so that you can protect yourself and hopefully pay less taxes. So I think your thoroughness is something that I think separates you from a lot of other folks out there. And also the book, which I haven't finished reading, but it's just been fantastic. No, I mean, there's so many tips, and I'm hoping before we get off the air here, maybe you can pull some of the, you know, some of the little tidbits of gems of wisdom that might be helpful for folks as well from that book. Well, you know, a lot of our listeners are folks approaching retirement or already in retirement, and they're just concerned about, you know, having the funds they need in order to not just survive retirement, but hopefully make it a retirement that they look forward to and they enjoy, that frees them up to do a lot of the things that that they want to do and have been wanted to do in retirement. And so for folks like that, or maybe they're on a fixed income, or maybe they've got a small pension coming in or limited reserves, how would you advise them? You know, they're looking at real estate investing. They really want to get involved, but they want to do it right. What kinds of things tax-wise should they be looking at doing in that early startup stage, or even before they actually, you know, purchase their first investment?
That's a really good question. And, you know, say the first step is to really sit down with your advisor, your tax advisor, and create an overall plan. Okay. Some of the things to look at would be, you know, how much resources do we have to be able to purchase real estate. You know, one of the things, you know, especially for people who are maybe exiting their jobs or, you know, just retiring, is the potential issue with obtaining loans, right? Especially for someone with limited resources. As you and I both know, the banks put such heavy weight on W-2 income. Right.
Oh boy.
So, so if you're someone who maybe is going to retire in January of next year, well, now might be a good time to get everything started on your first rental property before you actually exit your job. And the reason is because you still have a W-2 to show. Right? Maybe by next year, earlier, middle of next year, we might no longer have a W-2. So while you still have that income coming in, you know, now's the time to be able to utilize cheap bank financing, okay? Because that might not always be available to us when we have a change in income situation. Another key area that, you know, to definitely talk to your advisor about is what is the best source of funds for your real estate investment. And you mentioned earlier, you know, if we're nearing retirement age, we might have some money in retirement accounts, right? So does it make sense to take it out of retirement, a big chunk, and to use real estate? Or are there other alternatives, you know, such as self-directed investing, right? Maybe we want to keep it in the retirement account, and instead of just leaving the stock market, our retirement account will go out and buy that piece of rental property. The benefit of that potential strategy is that we don't have a one-time large tax hit of, you know, a large amount coming out of retirement account. And also, if we were to buy a rental property within our retirement account, the rental income could go back to the retirement account and grow for us tax-free or tax-deferred. And if we did indeed need that rental income to live off of, you know, every year for the next couple years, then it's at our discretion on how much we want to take out each year or each month, and we only pay taxes on what we take out. Yeah, right? That, so it's a little bit more control.
That is a great, yeah, that's, I think that's a great advantage of the self-directed instruments out there, IRA or whatever it may be, because, you know, once the funds go back in there, you can take, you know, the funds as they accumulate as well and reinvest again in another property, and mm-hmm. you can keep growing that and only draw as you need, and without the tax consequences. That's really, really great.
Yeah, I was just talking to a client right before you today, actually. He said, you know, he just found a duplex. He's retiring in 3 months. And so he said, you know, I need $50,000 for a down payment on this duplex. Should I just take it out? And so we ran some numbers. As you know, if you took it out today, you know, you still were working for a large part of this year, right? So taxes still going to be at a higher rate. So if we were to take it out today, that's almost $18,000 in income taxes that you would pay when you take out $50,000. Now, the alternatives would be, okay, if you move it to a self-directed, the retirement account buys real estate, maybe you take it out next year when you're fully retired, right? Then we might be in a lower tax rate and you arrive at the same place, just with more money in your pocket.
That's great. That's great. Wow. Some really good information. Looking at your current business, too, you know, I wanted to address that too, because you've got a great team over there. And what's sort of the one thing that you're really excited about your business today, and maybe even what's your vision for the future of your company?
With the launch of our book early this year, we've really been fortunate and been able to meet, you know, a large number of real estate investors. And that's really exciting to us. When Matt and I started our firm, you know, several years ago, our goal really was to create a firm that specialized in working with real estate investors. And so we're really fortunate that, you know, we're kind of where we wanted to be, being able to specialize. Because I do understand not all CPAs can have the luxury of specializing with just one particular set of clients. So that's something we're really excited about. From a vision perspective, I think we're in a really good position now where we can really focus on the things that we're really great at. Instead of having a firm that kind of does a little bit of everything, you know, some manufacturing clients, some restaurants, some bookkeeping. What our vision is to really become more niche focused and be able to really hone in and spend a lot of our time internally on training and keeping up to date on strategies for real estate investors. So yeah, we're really excited about that.
Oh, that's neat. And there's so many actual niches even within real estate investing too, as you know, there's the fix and flippers, there's the, you know, the buy and holders, the multifamily, the single family. I mean, the deed lien people. I mean, there's on and on and on. And so exactly. I'm sure there's a lot of areas there that you can cover.
Yeah. You know what you say, that it's really interesting because you're exactly right. Within our firm, we even have people who specialize in different types of real estate. So we have CPAs here that do, you know, more mobile home park type of returns than others. We have other ones that do more syndication of apartments and stuff. So yeah, even within real estate, there are opportunities to specialize as well.
That's great. Well, I wanted to follow up on something I mentioned a little bit earlier too, is if you wouldn't mind, maybe just throw out a tidbit or two of maybe a tax tip that real estate investors may not be aware of.
A tax tip. Well, for real estate investors, you know, specifically people who do rental real estate, and that could be, you know, apartments or commercial shopping centers, multifamily, single family. It's very important that I think what I've come to realize, and, you know, some of our listeners might know, but a lot of people don't know that there's a big difference between how we treat a repair cost for a property versus a large improvement for a particular property. So, meaning, you know, if we spend $1,000 to fix some broken things in the bathroom, generally we get to write that off immediately. Versus if we were to remodel the entire bathroom and we spend $30,000, a lot of times that $30,000 has to be depreciated over multiple years. And so it might not be as beneficial. Now, having said that, one of the strategies around that issue is to do a cost segregation analysis. And what that is basically the IRS allows us to break down large improvements or buildings into its very small different components. So, you know, we're talking about remodeling a bathroom. You know, as an investor, instead of just telling your CPA, oh, I spent $30,000 to remodel a bathroom, maybe it might be better for you to let your CPA know, well, what exactly were those $30,000 spent on, right? Maybe a couple hundred on toilets, a couple hundred on sinks, right? $1,000 on the countertops, you know, $2,000 on the cabinets. Because with that kind of breakdown in detail, then your tax advisor is going to be able to help you accelerate the tax write-off when it comes to tax time.
Oh, that's a great tip. Thank you for that. Because I'm encountering that right now because we're both, we bought a multifamily that we're upgrading in many aspects and a lot of common use areas. But then we're also doing a lot of things in the units. Plus, we just have the normal day-to-day stuff where people, you know, there's a leak in the roof or there's this or that. And that's a great advice. Great advice. Well, we're at the section now of the interview where we call it the wrap it up section. And what I do here is ask you a series of real quick questions. Well, let's start with your favorite real estate book.
Favorite real estate book? I would have to say Rich Dad Poor Dad, although that's not technically a real estate book, but it's one that got me into real estate. And it's, you know, it's an oldie, but goodie.
Oh, I love it. How about your favorite business book?
My favorite business book is one called The 4-Hour Work Week.
Love it. Tim Ferriss.
Tim Ferriss. Love it. A very quick read. And I love quick reads, you know, just kind of get all the golden nuggets out of it. You know, I really love it because I think, you know, for real estate investing, it's really like a business. And, you know, I mean, especially for someone who's retiring, you know, I'm sure no one wants to retire and work full time in real estate. And so a lot of the concepts in that book, even though it's a business book, I do try to apply it to my real estate investing, just, you know, because my full-time work is my CPA practice. And so I try to apply the four-hour work week to my real estate business.
That's great. I love it. How about your favorite? I added a new one here. Your favorite tax-related business book.
Can that be my book?
Oh, yeah, we'll let you do that. Which is available on Amazon, I understand, right?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon and also on biggerpockets.com. And, you know, I mean, to be honest, I read a lot of tax books and there's so many good ones. But honestly, I think for people who are not CPAs themselves, you know, that's really who our book is intended for. And I've read a lot of tax books, and a lot of that is very detailed with a lot of, you know, calculations and code references. And I think what happens is a lot of people get bored reading those. And so, you know, for our listeners, if you're not a CPA, you're not someone who really, you know, wants to read into the laws and the citations, our book on the tax strategies for the savvy real estate investor is a really quick read. It's very story based, because I think our goal is not for everyone to become CPAs. You know, as an investor, as a regular taxpayer, really you just want to know kind of the highlights, right, of what's important, and then talk to your tax advisor about how you can potentially use some of those to reduce your taxes.
Yeah, well, I can definitely second that. I have been referred, people have referred me to many sort of average guy tax books, and my eyes just gloss over. And reading yours was like just totally my cup of tea, because I got the information I needed, and it was really great. And you present it in such a light style with the stories and so forth that make it that much more appealing. So it's kind of like, you know, tax treatment for those that normally would not be, you know, real receptive to it. But great stuff. How about your most valuable website for success?
Oh, valuable website for success. I actually have two. From a business building perspective, there's a website called Maui Mastermind, and I really refer to that quite a bit from a general, you know, business building perspective. You know, for real estate, I have to say biggerpockets.com. They are also the publisher of our book. But, you know, from time and time again, I come across investors who tell me they just have found so much great information from the Bigger Pockets website. And it's actually kind of a community, an online community of its own, just lots of people sharing stories, good, bad, and the ugly. So that's a really great one. And of course, the third one I would have to plug is IRS website. I know most of you probably hate it. But
oh boy, one of my favorites now.
You know, if you have a quick question here and there, you know, especially like on self-directed investing, what you can and can't do, that's actually a pretty decent website. It has some frequently asked questions that I think help the average, you know, everyday taxpayer too.
Oh, great. How about favorite app?
Favorite app? That's a good one. Now, is QuickBooks considered an app, or is that a software?
Well, can you do QuickBooks on your phone?
No.
Or I mean, like an iPad? Well, maybe on an iPad. Well, no. I don't know. I mean, it would be great if it had a phone app, huh? I mean, something you could actually put on your phone.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, QuickBooks is the software that I recommend for most of our clients who do real estate. So from, you know, smaller fix and flip to wholesale rentals, it's pretty good at automation. So it takes out a lot of the time that you would normally spend for data entry. So that's one of my favorites. And it's pretty affordable, you know, no need to go to I think for most average investors, we don't really need to go and invest in a large amount of money for anything more sophisticated. So that's one of my favorites. I just don't know if that's actually an app per se.
Does it have sort of a real estate investing module? I know it has a lot of different modules for different professions. Do they have one?
It does.
Oh, that's
it actually
neat.
Does. When you set up, It asks you what kind of business you do, and one of the selections is rental real estate. So, yeah, it's actually pre-populated.
Well, I'll take you to your, to your phone, your iPhone, or any kind of phone. Would there be another app that you might use in your day-to-day work that's of value to you?
You know, I'm just scrolling through.
Right now, as we're talking. Checking your messages.
I am not a very tech savvy person. As you probably know, one of the apps I use, probably not very helpful to the listeners, but one of the apps I use a lot is Wait Times at Disneyland, because I do go there all the time.
That's great. I didn't know they had
that. And I want to know what's open, what's closed. Oh yeah, they have, they have an app for everything.
Yeah,
I should have a Keystone TPA app somewhere.
Seriously. I thought you'd have some kind of an app where, like your receipts, you don't even have to scan them. You just kind of hold them near your phone and they just immediately go, into QuickBooks or something.
Oh, you know what? I really have that. But, that app I use is just called the camera. I take a picture with the camera, and then I sync it to my computer, once a month, and there it goes.
Oh, that's great. I love it. Well, this has been just such a great interview. I could easily talk to you for another hour here, but I'd probably be asking all my personal questions about taxes. But seriously, it's just been great, and I think that you've given a lot of valuable information for our listeners, and hopefully things that they'll take to heart. And I do, I'm not getting any kind of reciprocation on this, but I really do highly recommend your book. And I think that for the average Joe, and I think I fall into that category, it's really great information that you need to know if you're going to be involved in real estate investing. So how do people reach you if, maybe they're interested in accounting services, or maybe they have questions for you or whatever? How can they get a hold of you?
Sure. Our website is actually the best place to start, and that's www.keystonecpa.com. We have tons of great information, free information. We have a couple free downloadable ebooks, and you can join our mailing list, and also lists a lot of our upcoming events. Sometimes we have live events or online events, so that's a great place to start. But also our phone number, if anyone wants to call with any questions or anything, it's 877-975-0975.
Great. And if you miss that, or you're jogging, or you're out driving in your car, or what have you, all of this information, including her book and some of the books she's mentioned, the other references, will be in our show notes. So you can go to olddogsreinetwork.com, and there'll be links to everything she just mentioned, including her website and the phone number as well. So anyone that don't worry, that information will be there when this podcast comes out. Wow. Well, we're almost done. And there's still one tradition that we have at the end of this show that everyone just loves, except the guests. No, just kidding. Is our closing howl. Now, I know you live in, actually live in Orange County, where I live. And there aren't always a lot of dogs around that you can hear and kind of, emulate. But, maybe you can just kind of go back in your childhood. Maybe it's, maybe you saw 101 Dalmatians or something. And we always like to close out our show with our guests giving their best old hound dog howl. Are you ready for that, Amanda?
Oh, I think so.
All right. Well, this will be something, your kids and your grandkids will be able to listen to somewhere down the line here. So, just give it your best.
All right. Here goes nothing. Oh!
Wow, that was good. You said you didn't know how to howl. Come on. That was a great howl. I think my speaker went in the, or the meter here went into the red on that one. So that was a.
Sorry about that.
It was great. That was great. Oh, definitely. That's going to go into our archives. You know, we're even thinking at the end of the year of having a little contest here and narrowing down to our best howls of the year. So you'll be up against some major real estate investors and others in this broadcast. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough, Amanda, and just for coming in and sharing this information, some great information as well. You know, I encourage our listeners to follow up and get the book. If you want to reach her, to go to her website and be able to, you know, maybe talk to somebody there that could give information about, you know, their tax issues and so forth. So we thank you, and hopefully we'll have you back. I think there's a lot of variations that, of information that we could definitely ask you that would be of value, and maybe closer to tax time too, so that, you know, people aren't forgetting some key things that they need to know if you'll come back.
Yeah, of course, of course. You know, before tax season will be a good time, and, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff, but tax law is always changing, so...
Yes, as I realize every year that I fill out these forms going, this is a new form. This is a, you know, so yeah, definitely. I think that's something you need to stay on top of. And it's great to have people like you that do stay on top of it, so that it helps people like me who are really bad at staying up on this. So, well, thanks again, Amanda. And for all of our listeners and the Old Dog REI network here, we know there's a lot of other things that you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've tuned in to our podcast here really means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. We hope that we have provided you with great content, great information as you move forward in your real estate endeavors. And until our next podcast, keep moving forward, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.